Good morning, and you're listening to Community Voices. This is Pam Wiley with Larry Warren. And with us this morning, after listening to Jack Abramoff, is our own Dana Williams.
Now, this isn't a theme show about...
No scandals here.
This isn't a theme show about bribing our local politicians. So we're changing the subject completely.
Completely. It's like, okay, here's how not to have government. That's the first part of the show. And then with Dana, it's like, here's how to have government.
Oh, thank you.
But isn't it interesting to hear from Jack Abramoff the things he did that just smacked of government at its absolute worst.
Yeah, it's so interesting to live in a community, and we've had these discussions with our congressional delegation in the past that at this level of government, parties don't matter. Nothing, you know, you don't have the ability to say, I'm not going to work with you because you have a D on your shirt or an R or whatever. It's just run so differently at this level. And I'm thrilled that I'm not at that other level.
Indeed. So can you go to a guy like Mike Lee, our new senator who springs from the Tea Party, and you obviously do not, and work together on local issues?
Yeah, I was with him actually 2 weeks ago, face-to-face in Washington, and I had met with his chief of staff in Utah about a month ago and had just this conversation in terms of, I don't really need to know the nuances of the Tea Party. But if there's things that further our state or my community, that I'd love to work with a senator on it. And so when we were back there a couple of weeks ago, we'd never met him. And he's like, so what's the takeaway? What do you want from me? We don't want anything. We just want to meet you, have you meet us. And he's like, okay, you have 7 minutes. Tell me about Park City. Here's the demographics. I want to know this. What's the ethnic makeup of the town and everything else? And so it was just kind of a meet and greet. He invited us to his Thursday afternoon Jell-O sessions that he has every week. Fortunately, we flew out Thursday morning.
there are some people who will think that those are Jell-O shots. Right?
They are not Jell-O shots, believe okay. me. I think those are melon balls that are in there, not tequila.
Okay.
But we digress.
Yes, we digress. Okay. So as a contrast to that, now, wasn't it Rocky Anderson who got you into politics?
No. Actually, it was Vietnam that got me into politics,
okay.
Nixon.
But
Rocky was the one who at dinner one night in 2001, convinced me that it was probably worthwhile to, regardless of win or lose, to step up and at least take a shot at running for office. And I think his line at the time was, the worst thing that can happen is you lose, but then you tried. Well, I don't know. That's the worst thing that can happen. You know, full page ads against you when you run from people you don't know, and everything are a little brutal, and your kids going, Dad, are you really a bad guy? And that part's kind of hard. But
it was because you were a skateboarder or what?
Oh, whatever. Skateboarder, former farmer, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
But countercultural upbringing. But so needless to say, that was certainly worthwhile. And it's been worthwhile ever since, I think.
Okay. And then didn't Rocky Anderson invite you to an anti-war rally?
He did several years ago. And I didn't think it was appropriate. That's another thing about this level of government is that a lot of what we do has nothing to do with the individual elected officials' opinions. It's what is the opinion of the people who put you there. You know, so I think our job is to actually try to second guess what the collective conscience of the community is as compared to furthering our own agendas. And so, you know, I don't really talk about who I vote for, what I do outside of the political realm that I'm in. And
the realm you're in is making sure streets are cleaned and
sure.
Garbage collected and all
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, I mean, that the faucets work and, you know, that the water works. I mean, the basic fundamental job of local government is certainly public works and public safety. We are a community that has a lot of government. No two ways about it. And I would argue that it's a demand of the citizenry. in terms of who we are. You know, creating the Department of Sustainability in City Hall a few years ago, but needless to say, most towns don't have sustainability departments. But putting, you know, everything from seniors issues and environmental issues and events into one department to kind of explain what it is with us that makes us up. And I think we came up with three kind of global pictures on it's our environment, it's our community, and it's our economy. And we should have a division in the government that actually makes sure that all those things stay in sync with each other. And so, you know, it's we're a little I don't think I wouldn't call it top heavy, because I think that the residents demand a certain level of service in this community. And that service level, I think, actually furthers us as an international destination resort.
So given what your mission is, why do we keep hearing about the mayor's trips to China?
Okay. So this is the second trip. The first trip, there was no taxpayer money involved in. I had been invited to come to China as part of the group on our student exchange program that we have with Beijing High School number 4, which has been going on, I think, 18 years now. We've been sending kids back and forth between here and Beijing. The mayor of Beijing, who I met during the Olympics, actually invited me to come to China, and my wife, and the Chinese government paid for our trip. And which it was so funny, because when I did the story with the Park Record, the next day Jay puts in the paper, the mayor's never disclosed that his decisions or his thoughts are based on reading the philosophy of Mao, which was – I read the philosophy of lots of people when I was younger, and I don't necessarily think I – you know, but the
you
mayor –
You don't have a little red book in your hip pocket, and, huh?
I have one in my office, though. I read the little red book when I was 15 years old, and needless to say, I'm always amazed at political philosophy. And but so we were invited. We went to Shanghai and Xi'an and Hangzhou and Beijing, and had an absolutely fantastic trip. Some of the relationships that we met created when we were there are still ongoing. So there's three or four people that are there, teachers, members of the Chinese Association for Friendship with Foreign Countries, that I'm in touch with at least every other week. Since we've been back, and that was 4 years ago.
And you also went into a mosque.
We were in Xi'an, China, which has a very large Muslim population. And our tour guide, who started this program with Val and Shirley, took us to the grounds of this mosque. And as it turns out, we meet the imam of this mosque, and he stopped and talked to us and his first comment was, "These are some of the most beautiful children I've ever seen in my life. And you look at their eyes and their skin, and they live at altitude and da da da." And then part of the discussion, we got into this discussion about leadership and why people serve.
Did he know where you were from?
We said we were from Park City, and he makes this gesture of skiing. And so, and then he said, you know, to the kids, you know, your mayor and I walk the exact same path in life.
And because, so that was essentially the Olympics, right? Was that he knew about
he
Park
knew,
City.
Yeah. Right. And yeah. Then, and he basically said, because we both became leaders because of what we feel in our hearts. And our ability is because of our brain, but our desire is from the heart. So we walk the same path. So will you kids all come have tea with me? So we had tea with this gentleman. And then he said, you know, I need these kids to walk away realizing that all they hear about is the 1% of the Islamic faith that are fanatics. And I want them to see the inside of a mosque, and I want them to see what our history is. And it was I think it was life-changing for everybody.
Did they get to see a Quran?
Yes, they did. And he actually read from a Quran in the archive room, and then he wrote out gave us a scroll with a poster on it, and wrote a message to the people of Park City from the imam that's up in City Hall.
And what's the message say?
Leadership is love.
Leadership is love.
Yeah, and I was like, were you in San Francisco in the 60s? Or
Did he have anything to say about 9/11 to the kids and the Quran? And the Quran as far as whether there was any teachings in the Quran of terrorism or anything?
Okay. No.
Yeah, okay.
So now you're headed back shortly, And who finances that trip, and what's its purpose?
This one is financed by both the city and the Chamber of Commerce. And a couple of years ago, we got asked to attend a conference down at Utah Valley University that was put on by the Mountain Partnership, which is a group that is a United Nations charter. Approximately 7% of the world live above 6,000 feet. And so the United Nations, this is centered in Italy, has a charter that works with mountain communities and sustainable practices. So we went to the some of the staff and I went to this dinner. And while we're sitting there, they said, well, we're going to introduce an authority on sustainability. So will the mayor of Park City. And I was talking and I was like, oh, what they've just mentioned Park City for? you're the keynote speaker. So I'm sitting next to this guy from the United Nations in Italy. And he's like, you don't know this? And I went, no. So I had to get up and speak for 45 minutes with not knowing it. But in terms of the sustainability efforts and what's happened to Park City post-Olympics, I'm relatively familiar. So I was very comfortable doing it. We have since actually joined this international organization. There are 60 countries that are involved in it. The U.S. would not join it, so we actually joined it as a city. And there's three resort or mountain communities that are members of it. So anyway, we kind of flash forward to about 2 months ago. I get an email from this group in Xi'an, China, that their actual – the name of their group is actually the Information Research Center of International Talent.
Say that again, please.
The Information Research Center of International Talent, China State Administration of Foreign Experts.
And they're into even bigger
titles than we are. Exactly. Yeah. And so anyway, they said we would be interested in having Park City present its sustainability plans to this conference, which is the first annual World Congress on Biodiversity. As of right now, there's 70 countries that are participating in this. There is 12 Nobel laureates that are speaking at this. 16 keynote speeches, and then one of the classes is the class I'll teach is on mountain preservation of mountain biodiversity.
So wait a minute. So there are 12 Nobel laureates and all these other people, and the mayor of Park City is speaking.
Yeah, and it was like the first email
It's one of those pictures that they have in elementary school or preschool saying, which of these does not belong? No offense.
Excuse me. It's the same kind of thing as the Mountain Partnership you were just talking about, where there are 60 countries involved and Park City.
Correct. <Right? laughs> we shouldn't be saying that during the legislative session. But so anyway, I wrote them back and said, you know, needless to say, and it was to Ms. Dr. Dana Williams. So the first email was, I'm not a Ms. And I'm not a doctor. And are we still invited? And I asked them where they heard about Park City, and they had heard about them from the United Nations office in Rome. That we actually had a game plan that included the preservation of open space and lessening carbon and an environmental game plan for the city. So I wrote them back and said we'd be very interested in it. And as we started looking into what was actually going to be taught at this, we thought that this would be a good thing for us to do. So, needless to say, that's a very expensive trip to go for 4 days or 5 days to Xi'an. Xi'an is a fascinating city. It's the it has the equivalent of the Egyptian pyramids of Chinese emperors. So this valley where Xi'an is where a lot of the emperors from the first three dynasties in China are buried. I mean, and I've seen it, but it's absolutely stunning. So basically, at a glance, what the major tracks are global policy on economics and actions on biodiversity protection, the targets of biodiversity, creating eco-economies, ecosystem management, breaking research in ecology and biodiversity, environmental biotechnology and biodiversity conservation, which is where we'll be speaking that segment. And part of this is practical hands-on solutions that you can bring back to your communities on things that you can do. And whether it's lessening carbon and, you know, there are classes on determining community carbon footprints. Well, we did that 3 years ago. So, so basically what we did was we figured, okay, we'll do this. And then we met with the chamber and said, all right, the majority of people who travel from China come in groups because they have interpreters with them. So the travel agencies are a very big deal there. And can we set this up so that while I'm there, I can come meet with some of these travel agencies in Beijing and try to further Park City? And so we're working with Bill Malone on that. 10 days ago, I get an email from a young man that's a doctoral student at the University of Utah who is teaching at the University of Shanghai. And he says, I teach global tourism in China, and I have submitted a program to add Park City to the list of destination towns in the United States. So New York is number one, San Francisco is number two, and now they're adding Park City. Part of my master's program is that I would bring kids from Shanghai to the University of Utah. They would spend a semester here. They would learn about Park City. Then they go back and they have to work for a travel agency bringing people to Park City. That would be part of their degree.
So did this get you funding for this trip? Or, I mean, who is funding this trip?
So the chamber's kicking in and the city is paying for the rest of it. We got a nice discount on the trip from that. So as it turns out, we've added about 36 hours in Shanghai that I'm going to go meet with Shanghai University and this group to try to set up the relationship that they would be putting Park City on the map.
Are Chinese prosperous enough? Is there a prosperous class that's now traveling the world?
Yes. And it's actually, the latest I read was it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 130 million people a year are taking international trips.
Well, okay. Don't oversell us, Dana.
No, but but if we can, I mean, we know what we do here, and the idea of trying to enhance our bed base and our image globally, I certainly think is a big part of this trip. So this should be it's a 2.5 week whirlwind basically.
And when are you going?
About the 21st of April.
21st of April.
And come back in the beginning of May.
Go back to China, because the whole country fascinates me, but I've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about biodiversity, saving ecosystems, and et cetera, et cetera. That country has so many people. I think I read in Tom Friedman's book, there are 300 cities of a million or more people.
Correct.
In China. It's just astounding. And then you read that there are no pollution controls, and that sewage and factory effluent is just dumped, piped straight to the nearest river.
Sure.
And I mean, with that big of a country and that big of a problem, how do the Chinese preserve their own country's environment?
And the air pollution in Beijing alone is just
And Xi'an and Shanghai, so it's just horrible. No two ways about it. And I'm certainly not an apologist for what some of the things that are happening in China. But the other side of the coin is that they have the ability, because their industrial revolution is still relatively young, they have the ability to move on to the newer technologies 50 years earlier than we did, you know. And so they produce more solar. They have more wind power than we do, and as they should. They have 10 times the population that we do.
Well, and they have more of the rare earth elements that they need to produce those things, too.
Correct. Right. Correct. So, you know, the idea that and it's interesting meeting with the kids because the kids have their eye on the future. I mean, I personally feel like, you know, within 10 years or so, it's not going to be a communist country anymore. You know, capitalism is coming on so fast. You've got the new Politburo that's coming in with the 5-year Congress this year, that the majority, the new prime minister, his daughter's at Harvard. He studied agriculture in Iowa when he was a kid. You know, we're getting these people that are much more Western friendly. People stopped us on a daily basis. You're from the U.S. Da, da, da. We love this. We love that. So, I mean, I think the young group that's coming in, and the biggest area they're working on now is trying to make the rural areas more respectable. that farming is, it's kind of like the 70s green revolution here in terms of getting back to the farm. And so anyway, I realize we're out of time, but this should be.
But to even have me talking about biodiversity is a huge step too, isn't it?
It's a very big deal.
Yeah. Very big. So this is the first annual, and
we're honored to be part of it. I think it's kind of, in my opinion, we're starting to get known not just for what we've built here and what's happened, but what we haven't built and what we've protected here, and the fact that there's a direct correlation between open space and the future of a resort economy.
Okay, excellent. Dana, we gotta go, but. And then the yin and yang, yin and yang, whatever it is, of your life is playing in Motherlode Canyon Band. So,
well, that's correct.
So we'll go out on a little Motherlode, and then we'll be back to wrap things up.
Great.
Okay, little sample of Motherlode Canyon Band. I want to thank front man of the band, Dana Williams, a.k.a. Mayor Williams of Park City. And also, it was pretty interesting to have Jack Abramoff on the air with us this morning. Much to say. And I want to thank our great sponsors, Spigot Design, and I want to welcome back Albion Financial as a sponsor of Community Voices.
All right, and you're listening to 91.9 FM KPCW Park City and the Heber Valley 88.1 FM Colville and Camas.